No matter what we've done, we have no excuses to not serve God. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
God does not look for perfect people to do his work. There are no perfect people. So God takes imperfect people and chooses imperfect people to do his work. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses was a murderer. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David committed adultery. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. Martha was a worrier. The Samaritan woman had been divorced 5 times. Zacchaeus was short. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. And God did miracles in their lives. And he'll do one in your life too.
He can heal every scar.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And that introduction is pretty clear. God can work a miracle in your life. You know, we think of all these Bible characters that Pastor Jeff just mentioned as good people, saints of God, who did courageous things to accomplish God's purposes. But in reality, they're just people, just like you and me. The good things they did were done by God through them, in spite of their frailties and weaknesses. And the good news is, the same can be said of our lives if we'll stop making excuses. Today, part 2 of the message, No More Excuses, from Pastor Jeff's series, It's All About Jesus, from the Gospel of John. Today, we're going to look at the story of how Jesus healed a man who had been crippled for 38 years and was still waiting for his miracle. Have your Bible open to John chapter 5. And get ready to live a life with no more excuses.
If you are going to get well, the very first thing that you have to do is throw away all your excuses. Action number 2. To get well, you have to rise up by faith. Now, the man gives Jesus the excuse in verse 7, and then Jesus says in verse 8, he doesn't commiserate with him. He doesn't say, oh, they're there. He doesn't say, you're right. Nobody knows the trouble you've seen. Nobody knows your sorrow. He doesn't go into any of that stuff. He doesn't click on the poor, poor, pitiful me, Linda Ronstadt song. What he says to him is, arise, take up your pallet, and walk. And to get well, you're going to have to rise up as the Lord commands. You're going to have to rise up by faith. Do you want to get well? Then get up. Do you want to get well? Then get up. You know what some people want to do? They don't want to get well. You know what they want? They want to get attention. They want to win the lame game. And Jesus says, listen, if you're serious, if you want to get well, then get up. Get up by faith. Get up from your prison that you're in. See, because people live in a prison, in a pool of woe is me, in a pool of alas, in a pool of poor, poor, pitiful me, in a pool of hopelessness, in this prison. And the Lord came, the scripture says, to open the prison doors. Jesus' first sermon in Nazareth, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And see, the Lord, he opens the prison door, and then he says, get up. And it takes faith to do that. He doesn't pull you out of the prison. He opens the door so that you can get out of the prison. He releases the shackles so you can get out, but he doesn't pull you out. He doesn't do that. It takes faith to do that. This man had to rise up. He had to respond in faith. There's a lot written about this guy as I was studying about him where people were saying, oh, this guy had no faith at all. But I think he had faith because when Jesus said to him, he hadn't gotten up in 38 years. And it doesn't sound like when you read his story, because it was supposedly, Jesus said it was because of sin that he was in this condition. So it doesn't sound like he was born crippled. He became crippled. And for 38 years, he hasn't gotten up. And so now he says to him, arise. He says to him, get up. Well, the guy easily could have said, yeah, right. Did you not hear my excuses? Do I need to play my whine over again? It's hopeless. I'm helpless. There's no way. Look how crippled I am. He had to respond to the Lord. He says, get up. And the man somehow pushed off. And the crooked legs were made straight. And immediately there was a miracle and he was made whole and he couldn't believe it. And it was, wow, look what happened to me. And in your situation, the Lord wants you to get up. He says to you, get up. He said, but Jeff, I can't get up. That's what this man was thinking. How can I get up? I can't get up. You do it based on the word of God. See, the Lord wants you to do what he says. And if he says to you, get up, then you do all you can to get up. You have to exercise the faith to begin to get up. And then he's got to give you the power to get up. It's just like with Peter. When Peter walked on water, the Lord said, come. But the Lord didn't grab Peter and pull him out of the boat. The Lord invited Peter to come walk on the water with him. He said, come, and Peter had to leave the security of the boat, and he had to take that step of faith, and boom, steps on the water. Well, what happens if you get out of a boat and step on water? You sink like a rock, and I sink like a rock. But if the Lord says, come, all of a sudden, the water becomes hard like this tabletop. And that's what happened for Peter. And that's what happened for this guy when the Lord said, arise, get up. And he stepped out in faith, so to speak, and he pushed off by faith. And all of a sudden, he could stand. It's the same situation when Jesus told the man with the withered hand in Mark chapter 3. He had that hand that was all like that. And he said, stretch out your hand. Stretch out my hand, stretch out my hand. That's mean. That's cruel. Why would you ask me to do that? It's like taking a guy's crutches away and saying, now you walk, bam, I fall down. And Jesus said, stretch out your hand. And the guy, he could have just said, forget you. You don't know what you're doing. But he did. He said, okay. You're saying, stretch out my hand. I've never stretched out my hand. It's a withered hand, but I'm gonna do it. You take that step of faith and then the miracle comes. And that's what happened with this guy. Listen, don't say that you can't do it. Because Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if the Lord tells you something to do, then you step out and do it, and God will enable you to do what he said, do. That's living by faith. That's walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's just doing what God says. Oh, you say, Jeff, you know, I know about Philippians 4:13. I've heard that verse before. I've even memorized it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And, you know, I think that's probably for other people, not for me. I mean, it doesn't work for me. Works for other people. Maybe it works for you, maybe. It doesn't work for me. You know, these promises of God, they're good for other people. They just don't seem to do for me. You know, I'm just hopeless. I'm just helpless. And now we're back to the excuses, aren't we? You've already gone back to the excuses. Let me tell you something. God does not look for perfect people to do his work. There are no perfect people. So God takes imperfect people and chooses imperfect people to do his work. And I don't care what kind of lameness you have. The Bible's filled with lame guys that God used. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses was a murderer. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David committed adultery. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. Martha was a worrier. The Samaritan woman had been divorced 5 times. Zacchaeus was short. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. And God did miracles in their lives. And he'll do one in your life too. Listen, to get well, you have to throw aside your excuses. To get well, you have to rise up by faith. And to get well, action number 3, you have to take responsibility for your life. See, Jesus said to him, arise, take up your pallet and walk. And immediately the man became well, and he took up his pallet and began to walk. It's not only just arise, but there are other things that you need to do. You know, you arise, I give you the power. When you take that little step of faith, I give you the power. I straighten out your legs and I strengthen your legs that haven't held you up for 38 years. And now I'm giving you an assignment. You take up your pallet and you walk. Listen, it's time. It's time for you to throw away the excuses, to rise up by faith, and it's time to take up your pallet. You say, what does that mean, Jeff? Take up your pallet. It means you take responsibility for your life. That thing that's been carrying you for so long, you pick it up and you take authority over that. And you say, I'm not gonna be a freeloader anymore. I'm not gonna be somebody that just waits for other people to take care of me. You know why a lot of people don't wanna get well? It's because then there are things expected of them. Hey, if I'm sick, if I'm an invalid, nothing's expected of me. I just lie there. And nobody expects me to do anything. But now when I get well, then there are expectations put on me. And a lot of people don't want to get well because they like it when no one asks them for anything and no one expects anything of them. And Jesus said, take up your pallet. That thing that's been carrying you, you start carrying it. And you take responsibility. I was thinking about this in terms of the situation in America with so many homes and so many husbands and so many dads. And they just abdicate at home. They don't lead their wife. They don't lead their children. They don't lead them spiritually. They don't lead them emotionally. They're just always at work and they're not really doing anything with the family. As one wife told me who ended up getting divorced, she said, I take care of everything from the mailbox in. He handles everything from the mailbox out. He's out in the world earning the money and I'm taking care of everything at home. And he was an absentee husband and an absentee dad, and the home just cratered. Hey, take up your pallet, take responsibility. And guys, you be the husband God wants you to be. You be the dad God wants you to be. You be the one that's getting your family ready to go to church. And you be the one that's putting your kids to bed and reading them Bible stories and praying for them. You don't let your wife do that. You do that and you take the lead. Makes all the difference in the world. It's time to take up your pallet and to do what God says do. It's time to walk in newness of life. Take up your pallet and walk. Man, life has changed for you, crippled guy, because you're not the crippled guy anymore. You're a healed guy. And so now I want you to walk. And see, when the Lord does a work in your life, he says, now I want you to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You're raised to walk. When I baptize people, I always say that, you know, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Hey, the old you is dead. That old life you had's gone. You have a brand new life in Jesus. And the Lord saved you so that you'd walk with him. Walk in freshness and newness, in excitement, in joy, in righteousness. You know, after this guy gets healed, they ask him, because he's carrying his pallet. Jesus told him, you know, take up your pallet and walk. So he's carrying his pallet. And you know what happens? It's on a Sabbath. You know, the scripture says that in verse 9. And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was on the Sabbath on that day. See, when you read that, you think, Sabbath, uh-oh. Dum-da-dum-dum. It's a bad deal because it was on the Sabbath and Jesus healed the guy on the Sabbath and he's carrying his mat on the Sabbath, his pallet on the Sabbath. And it's like, uh-oh. Wow, you're not supposed to do that. The religion police are gonna come swarm you. And so that's what they did. They said, what are you doing carrying your pallet? You're doing work, it's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to carry stuff on the Sabbath. He said, I just got healed. The guy that healed me told me to do this. And then he said, who was it that healed you? He said, I don't know. I don't know who healed me, he slipped away. And then he was in the temple praising God for his healing. And then Jesus found him, verse 14. And he said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may befall you. You know what that means to me? That means obviously this guy's sickness was because of sin. Not everybody's sickness is because of sin. In John chapter 9, a man is born blind had nothing to do with his sin or his parents' sin. Jesus makes that clear. But this guy's situation was because of sin. And he says, don't sin anymore. Listen, I didn't save you. I didn't raise you up so that you could, you know, have a brand new life of sin. I saved you and raised you up so that you would soar, so that you would walk in victory, so that you'd walk with me. That's why the Lord does that for you and me. He says, take responsibility and take responsibility for your walk with me and seek me as silver and search for me as for hidden treasure and spend time with me and set your heart to seek me and to walk with me and to do what I say. That's your responsibility. God won't do that for you. You have to decide, hey, I'm going to walk in newness of life. Have you ever heard the proverb that says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so does a fool to his folly? You ever watched a dog vomit? Not pretty, but that's what they do. Dogs return to their vomit. And a fool so often goes back to his own folly. And Jesus is saying to this guy, hey, you've been made whole. You've been made well. Don't go back to your life of sin. Don't go back to the vomit. Some of you are here and God has done things in your life and you've seen his miracles. You've experienced his miracles. And he broke those chains of sin that were on you and addiction that were on you. And now you're wanting to go back to the vomit and you're kind of creeping over to the vomit so you can scoop it up again. As a dog returns to its vomit, so does a fool to his folly. And the Lord says, it's time to walk in newness of life. It's time to cut off that filth and that vomit in your life and to walk with me. And it's time to understand that there will always be opposition to those who walk with God, to those who take the Lord at his word, to those who rise up, to those who look in the mirror and say, there's something wrong inside of me, and God, I want you to fix me, and yes, I want to be well, and yes, Lord, I will do what you say do, and I'm going to seek you as silver, and I'm going to search for you as for hidden treasure, and I'm going to take responsibility for my spiritual life. There's going to be opposition.
Pastor Jeff returns in just a moment to conclude this message called No More Excuses. He's going to outline the predicted opposition that this healed man faced from those who should have celebrated this great miracle, but they didn't. There were no fans of Jesus at all. Listen, are you a Jesus fan? If not, and you're listening today out of curiosity, God placed that curiosity in you and put you here today. Why? Because Jesus is worth your worship. But far too many people don't really surrender their lives to Christ because they, frankly, have never investigated who he really is. Pastor Jeff is teaching through a series this month called It's All About Jesus. And today's message, No More Excuses. It contains a total of 8 messages that will lead you to cherish Jesus even more if you already know him, and fall on your knees and surrender to him if you do not currently have a personal relationship with Christ. You can find out more about how to get this series by going online at fromhisheart.org or calling 866-40-BIBLE. You'll be blessed, no doubt. Now here again is Pastor Jeff to conclude this important lesson from the It's All About Jesus series entitled No More Excuses.
Here's the crippled guy from 38 years, and now he's walking, and man, he's in the temple praising God. And what do the Pharisees do? What do the religious leaders do?
You're not supposed to be carrying your pallet. What are you doing here?
Hey, the guy that healed me told me to do this.
Well, who healed you?
I don't know. Jesus finds him in the temple. And the guy finds out it's Jesus. So he goes back to the religious leaders. He goes, hey, this guy Jesus, he's the one that told me to do that. He's the one who healed me. And so they turn their anger off of this guy onto Jesus because he's healing on the Sabbath. And there's opposition. And listen, if you walk with God, there will always be opposition. And the opposition often comes within the church. It comes from the Pharisees. It comes from the religious people in the church who are joy suckers. They don't enjoy anything that God does. They like rules and regulations and tight little boxes, and God is the God outside of the box. You try and put a box, and God says, I'm gonna break that box. I'm bigger than any of your boxes. And man, the Pharisees in the churches, they're like, we gotta build a stronger box. We gotta have harder rules and harder regulations. And this is how you're supposed to worship God and walk with God. And this is how you're supposed to pray. And God has lots of ways that he does things. Man, if you try and live your life to please the religious elite, you'll never please God. These religious folks, they're mad at the guy, and then they get mad at Jesus because he's healing on the Sabbath. And then watch, verse 16, and for this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus. They were seeking him and going after him because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. He is deserving of death. A great miracle took place that day. No rejoicing by the religious leaders, just hatred, to the point of saying, Jesus needs to die because he broke our rules, because it's all about rules, and it's all about us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about pleasing him. It's all about following him. He made himself equal with the Father, making himself equal with God because he is God. And we follow after him. Listen, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what needs to be fixed inside of you today. I don't know if there's bitterness in your heart. I don't know if there's jealousy. I don't know if there's some wound you're holding on to from the past. But I know the Lord asked, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Will you arise?
Do you want the healing that only Jesus can bring? Do you really want that? We pray you do, and that you'll find out how to get that healing when you surrender to him in repentance and faith. Please go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link, to discover who Jesus really is, why he came, what he did, the sacrifice he made for you for now and for eternity, and how to live a life that brings you joy and peace and purpose and glory to God. Again, go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. God bless you. Now, if you've been listening to this broadcast for weeks, months, or maybe even years, we pray that we are continuing to bless your life and asking you to help us not only continue to bless you, but so many more who are being reached by this broadcast on radio and television. Would you consider becoming a Vision Partner? That's a partner that gives each and every month. And if you become a new Vision Partner this month with a gift of $20 or more, you'll be investing in the eternal lives of people that you'll never meet until heaven. But it'll be so worth it. And with that gift, we'll send you Pastor Jeff's series, Foundations, the booklet, Turn Out the Lights, When God Pulls the Plug on a Nation, and his brand new series, The Next Step. All three, if you become a new Vision Partner this month. To make your gift, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request these materials when you contact us. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for being with us. Hope that you'll join us tomorrow for the next lesson in this It's All About Jesus series that'll teach you something that God apparently really, really wanted us to know, because it is the only miracle that is mentioned in all four Gospels. Join us on Friday for the encouraging message, In the Hands of God, right here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more Go to fromhisheart.org.